Y'all go ahead and be seated, kids. If you want to go down to Kids Church, kindergarten through fourth grade, you can go ahead and do that. And parents, you can pick them up at the conclusion of today's time. Right around the corner down in Kids Place, the rest of you, go ahead and turn into the New Testament and just keep going to the right until you find a one-page book by the name of Philemon. We're going to be in the book of Philemon for the next 3 weeks. Now, before I go any further, let's just get a couple of things, kind of some house cleaning issues going here. Number one, some people refer or pronounce his name Philemon, some Philemon, so it's tomato, tomato. The really cool kids say Philemon. And I'm just joking, that's just the way I've always said it. All right, so if you're a Philemon person, it's cool, and you need to be cool with if you're a Philemon person. So, Philemon. And let's get a little bit of kind of a background, set a foundation before we kind of venture through the next 3 weeks. What we need to understand about this book is there's three central characters that are here in Philemon. Okay, number one, of course, is the Apostle Paul. Paul wrote this letter to this man named Philemon while he was in prison in Rome. The second character, of course, if you haven't figured that out, is... Can y'all help me out here? Philemon. How many of you said Philemon? It's okay. Live with it. All right. So you have Paul in Rome. You have Philemon. Now, what do we know about Philemon? He was a convert of Paul's to Christ. He lived in Colossae, which is modern-day Turkey. It's found in modern-day Turkey. It's right across, so you know where the boot of Italy, where Greece is, and there is an ocean that separates Turkey, where Colossae is. So right across from Greece, and this is modern-day Turkey. So in Colossae, the church that was the Colossians met in Philemon's home. So what that tells us is he was probably a person of some wealth because he had a large enough home for people to meet in his house. So this time in history, people didn't gather together like we gather together in church buildings like this. They would have met in homes. So not only was he a convert of Paul's to Christ, but he is a leader of the church in Colossae that met in his home. Not just a member, he was a leader there. So we have Paul in Rome, we have Philemon, who is in Colossae, and then we have Onesimus. Now, Onesimus is a runaway slave that belonged to Philemon. And so anytime you begin to study through this book, at some point you have to talk about this issue of slavery. So at this time period, there were roughly somewhere in the neighborhood of probably 120 million people that encompassed the Roman Empire. It was huge at this point. Somewhere between 45 and 60 million slaves belonged inside that Roman Empire. It was a part of life. It was part of their culture. Not saying it was right, saying that's what was going on here. Now, at this time, a lot of slaves in the Roman Empire actually had it better than those who weren't, because there was basically no middle class. You either had a lot or you had nothing. So in the Roman Empire, a slave had a place to live, a slave had a place to eat, slave had clothes to wear, and oftentimes they were actually given a wage, and oftentimes bought their way to freedom. Now, with all that being said, listen to me very carefully, they still were not free, and this is still an institution that the Bible deals with. Now, oftentimes, skeptics have accused the Bible or the New Testament of not condemning slavery on a deeper level. Many people have accused Jesus of not condemning slavery on a deeper level, and the Apostle Paul of not condemning slavery on a different level, but Christianity dealt with the heart of how we treat one another. So what Christianity did is it changed the minds and the hearts of people towards this evil institution of slavery. I give you an example. Paul said this in Galatians chapter 3, starting at verse 25. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. For in Christ Jesus, you who are all sons of God through faith, for as many of you who were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Therefore, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free, and there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring and heirs according to the promise. So what the New Testament did was the New Testament began to change people's hearts in how we treat one another. In fact, ridding the West of slavery was led by a lot of believers who realized this is not how God intended one person to treat another. And so we have this issue that has to be dealt with, but you're going to see how Paul encourages Philemon as we walk through. We're going to be taking a look at each person. So like next week, we're going to be looking at the forgiveness of Philemon. Today, we're going to be looking at the intercession of Paul. That is, he got involved in this matter because of love. The word intercede means to mediate or intervene on behalf of another. So in this letter, what Paul is doing is he's intervening on behalf of not only Onesimus, the runaway slave, but he's also intervening on behalf of Philemon, the one who he wants to show a deeper understanding of what it means to be in Christ and to love people and to forgive people on a Christian level. Now, one of the offenses that has taken place here is that Philemon is in Colossae and Onesimus runs away, but he doesn't just run away to Rome. He runs away. Before he runs away, he steals from Philemon, probably money. He has escaped to Rome. If you were somebody on the run, whatever you were running from, the place you would go is to Rome because that's the biggest place and you could hide there. All right, you're not going to run away and run to fate, all right? Run uptown, all right? If you're going to run from something, you're going to go to Dallas or you're going to go some big place where you can blend in. That's where Onesimus runs to. But by the providence of God, as Onesimus is running from Philemon and to Rome, guess who he runs straight into? The Apostle Paul. Now, we don't have a lot of the details of this, but obviously at some point, Onesimus gives his life to Jesus because of the influence of Paul. So what we have now is we have Paul riding from Rome to one of his earlier converts to Christ on behalf of a new convert to Christ. And we're going to see how love intercedes. Let's look. We're going to read this. Only 25 verses. Let's start in verse 1. Here Paul says that he is a prisoner for Christ Jesus and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved fellow worker, and to Phia and our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and the church in your house. There's probably a Phia was Philemon's wife. There's a possibility, but we're not really sure, that Archippus might have been his son. He says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 4, I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have towards the Lord Jesus and for all the saints, and I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. Verse 8, accordingly, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required, yet for love's sake I prefer to appeal to you. I, Paul, an old man and now a prisoner also for Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my child Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and to me. I am sending him back to you, sending my very heart. I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel, but I preferred to do nothing without your consent in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but for our own accord. For this perhaps is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever, no longer as a bondservant, but more than a bondservant, as a beloved brother, especially to me. But how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord? So if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this in my own hand. I will repay it, to say nothing of your owing me, even your own self. Yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. At the same time, prepare a guest room for me, for I am hoping that through your prayers I will be graciously given to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends greetings to you, and so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. This letter that Paul had written on behalf of Onesimus to his friend Philemon was not only meant to be read by Philemon, it was meant to be read to the entire church that met in his home, and of course it is meant for us to read it as well. And there are such rich understanding of how we are to live as followers of Jesus here. So let's dive into what it means to intercede because of the love of Christ for other believers. The first thing that I want you to see here is that love is thankful for and acknowledges, watch this, the best in others. In relationship with from one Christian to another. Notice what Paul says when he began after his greeting. He says in verse 4, I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have towards the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. So Paul begins by letting him know, I am interceding and I am expressing genuine thankfulness for who you are, Philemon, as a follower of Jesus. When we take a look at these verses, what it points out to us is like in verse 4, Paul says, Philemon, I pray for you constantly. Listen, when somebody comes up to you and they say this, I am praying for you, that is an encouragement that brings refreshing to you, and it should mean something to you. Verse 5, he says, and he is commending Philemon here for his sincere faith in Jesus and for his love for other believers. I am appreciative of who you are as a follower of Jesus Christ, Philemon. Verse 6, he prays that Philemon's faith would continue to grow to the point where it would be even more effective for the gospel of Jesus. And then he, in verse 7, rejoices in the encouragement of Philemon's fruitful ministry among the believers in Colossae. Why is it important for us to understand that as we do life together, that we are to encourage each other? Here's one of the reasons, because far too often, within the confines of God's people, it's a lot easier to find fault than it is to find encouragement. And many times what we do is we pick each other apart and say, why didn't you do this? Or why are you doing that? Or why'd you fail me here? Or, what's going on here? They're not good enough. Or why in the world did they make that move? And what we learn here is that Paul could have said all types of things to Philemon when he opens this up. But he starts out by honestly encouraging and acknowledging the things that Philemon is doing well as a believer. Instead of tearing him down and telling him what he should do, he points out what he is doing well as a believer. By writing this letter, what Paul wanted is not only for Philemon, for the whole church to understand this great understanding that says because of the love of Christ, there is a demand for forgiveness and love and unity among God's people. And Paul wanted the church to have a deeper understanding of what it means to follow Jesus, not only in their one-on-one relationship with him, but in their relationship with other believers that they were doing life with. And the reason is because the better you know Jesus and his blessings and his forgiveness and his love, the more you will extend that to other people. Now, Paul was not just buttering Philemon up for the big ask to forgive his runaway slave, Onesimus. He truly believed the things that he was saying. What Paul might say to us is this. In the Christian life, from one believer to another, there is power in encouraging each other. When somebody encourages you in your faith, it gives you a new wind. It gives you new zeal. It breathes life into you. I see you leading your family well for Christ. I see you loving the church well for Christ. I see you sharing the gospel or discipling somebody, and I want to tell you that I'm seeing it, and I want to encourage you in this. You never know the power of an encouraging word. And so here, Paul begins by saying this, Philemon, I love you, and I'm proud of you, and I'm proud of your witness, and I'm proud of what you're doing in the church. But there's another thing that love does as it intercedes. Love seeks the welfare of others while dealing with them honestly. Paul was interceding, as we mentioned a minute ago, not just for Onesimus, a runaway slave, but he was also interceding for the welfare of Philemon because he wants him to grow from this experience. He wants him to push through to a greater understanding of what it means to be a believer and to forgive the way Jesus has forgiven. Listen to what he says in verses 10 through 12. I appeal to you for my child Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment. Verse 11 says, formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and to me. I am sending him back to you, sending my very heart. Now notice what Paul says here. He starts in verse 10 and he says, he refers to Onesimus as my child. What he's saying is this, I have come in contact with Onesimus. I have shared Christ with Onesimus. He has become a follower of Jesus because of my influence, and he is now my son in the faith. Now, to us, we look at that and we go, man, that's cool. You have to put yourself in the position of Philemon reading this letter. You have to put yourself in the position of the one who has been wronged, the one who has been stolen from. And they come back and they have this letter, and Philemon opens it up and he reads the first portion and greetings and you're doing a great job and everything's awesome. And then he gets to 12 and he says, and I'm writing to you on behalf of my son. And then he sees his name. I don't know about you, but if your name is Onesimus, your name is jumping off the page. And I want you to imagine as Philemon's reading this and he gets to that name and he goes, why are you writing to me about this guy who is stolen from me? And he stiffens up for a moment. But I wonder if you'd be honest with yourself and you'd say, you know what, there's been other believers and there have been other Christians who have wronged me. And they've talked bad about me, and they've gossiped about me. Maybe they've abandoned me. However they've hurt me. And just the thought of their name makes you kind of stiffen and bristle up. And I wonder how easily we would hear somebody say to us, you need to forgive them. I imagine for a moment Philemon was like, you got to be kidding me. You're joking, right? You're joking, writing to me about this guy. But I want you to notice something that Paul says. When he gets to verse 11, Paul writes, formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and to me. Now the cool thing about this is this, it's a play on words, but it's almost humorous. For Paul says what? Formally, okay, so what Paul is saying is, the Onesimus that you knew, I understand that you think he's useless to you. The Onesimus I know, the new believer in Jesus, is not only useful to me, but he can be useful to you. Now, the reason that this is a play on words is because the meaning of Onesimus' name is, okay, can we all do the drum roll? Everybody on your legs? Everybody, let's do a drum roll. Anybody have a guess on what Onesimus' name means? Useful. Paul's writing and he is telling Philemon he is now living up to the value of his name. He is now useful. But not because of anything that he's done other than he's given his life to Christ. He is useful to me in the ministry and he is useful to you because this one person that was once your slave and has run away and stolen from you is now your brother in Christ. For as Paul, who said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Philemon, he's not the person that you knew. He is a new creation. And you're a new creation. And it's totally changed the dynamic of your relationship. Now, probably what Onesimus wanted to hear from Paul is this. Hey, buddy, I'm glad you gave your life to Christ and you're really helping me as I'm in prison here in Rome and you're helping me to minister to other people and share the gospel with people. I'm kind of limited to how I can do that, and so you're very useful to me. And then Onesimus might be going, great, I get to stay here. But you know what Paul says? But guess what, buddy? You're going back to deal with Philemon. Because you must go make this right, and you must go ask him to forgive you. And you have to trust me in this. And that's what I mean by love. When it intercedes for the welfare of others, it also deals with this honestly. Philemon, you've got to go take care of this with Onesimus. Onesimus, go and ask to be forgiven. Philemon, forgive Onesimus. How many of y'all are fans of the movie, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? How many of you hate that movie when it comes on? We'll be praying for you. It's not like my top five movie, but it's like top 20 or so. But it's one of those movies, though, when there's nothing else on and you're just flipping. Isn't it funny that we live in a world now where we have 7,000 channels and I can't find anything to watch, okay? So if you're old enough, like some of y'all aren't old enough to remember, you used to have like 5 channels, that's it. So there's nothing on. Well, sometimes if I hit that, I'm like stopping. My family's all like, oh my gosh, not again. And I'm saying the lines and I'm repeating it and I'm laughing and they don't know what's going on. They think I'm weird, but I understand that. So there's this scene where the three escaped convicts are traveling and they come across a church baptism service kind of in this big pond is what it looks like. And Delmar, kind of one of my favorite characters because he's kind of a goofball, he just gets so overcome and excited, he runs into the water and kind of cuts in line, goes up to the preacher, and the preacher baptizes him. So then this is a conversation that comes after this. Now listen to what happens. I'm going to read it to you because I got it verbatim. Delmar says, well, that's it, boys. I've been redeemed. I've done had all my sins and transgressions washed away. It's the straight and narrow from here on out, and heaven's everlasting is my reward. The preacher said that all my sins was washed away, including that Piggly Wiggly I knocked over in Yazoo. How many of you shopped in a Piggly Wiggly? I have. Everett, played by George Clooney, says, I thought you said you was innocent of those charges. Delmar says, well, I was lying. And the preacher said, that sin's been washed away too. Neither God nor man's got nothing on me now. And Everett said, that's not the issue, Delmar. Even if it did put you square with the Lord, the state of Mississippi is a little more hard-nosed. Now, I'm not saying it was as redneck of a conversation as Delmar and Everett. But at some point, Paul said, Onesimus, I know you have faith in Christ and you are now a child of God, but you need to go make things right with Philemon. And so he sends him with this letter to go deal with Philemon. See, love and forgiveness go hand in hand, and love and forgiveness is what leads to unity. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 12 says, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all offenses. Now, this isn't just the fact that maybe the love of Onesimus and Philemon could do anything. It's because of the love of Christ that has changed their life. It's because of what Jesus has done that made the covering of not only their sins, but their offenses towards one another able to be forgiven. You see, love is willing and pays the price of reconciliation. That's what Paul does here. Not only does he encourage Philemon to forgive Onesimus, not only does he encourage Onesimus to go ask for forgiveness for stealing from Philemon, but this is what he says to his friend Philemon on behalf of his new friend and fellow believer in Jesus, Onesimus, in verse 17 and 18. So if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. And if he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, listen to what the Apostle Paul says. Charge that to my account. Philemon, I know that I'm sending Onesimus to you, and I want you to forgive him, and I want you to receive him not as a runaway slave, but I want you to receive him as your brother in Christ. And I realize that he's stolen money from you. I'm not naive. And so Paul says, and so whatever he owes you, whatever he has taken, you charge that to my account. And the world says, whoa, that's kind of radical. Exactly. Charge it to my account. But let me ask this question. Is that not exactly the picture of the gospel? Is that not, if you're a follower of Jesus, is that not what Jesus has done for you? It's what Jesus did for me. He paid the price. He said, charge it to my account so I could be reconciled to a holy God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 21, for our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is a picture of the gospel. This is the gospel lived out in relationship between one believer and another. Notice in verse 17, he uses this word receive. Now, this wasn't just taken back. The word received here in the Greek has an understanding of to receive someone into your family circle. Paul wasn't saying, Philemon, I want you to receive Onesimus back on your terms. I want you to receive him back as you would receive me, like family. Okay, in the family circle. And again, the world would say, man, that's crazy. Why would the one who has offended be welcomed back, but even more, into the family of the one who was the offender? I mean, why would we take an offender back into our home, but even more into our family? And as I was thinking about this week and just kind of going over it, I was thinking about my own life, and I think I would like for you to challenge yourself as well if you're a follower of Jesus. We wonder about this. How could you ask Philemon to receive Onesimus into his family circle after he's stolen from him? And yet, we should stand back and say, but how could God receive a sinner like me into his family? It's because Jesus said, charge it to my account. Love pays the price. Here's the final thing. Love believes the best in others. I love the way that Paul challenges Philemon. Verse 21 is just filled with richness of what his expectations are. Verse 21, Paul says, confident of your obedience. That's great. That's a great line. Philemon, I'm confident in your obedience in this matter. But listen to what he says. He finishes this sentence. I write to you knowing that you will do even more than I say. Hey, Philemon, I'm confident in your obedience, but guess what? I'm also knowing you and confident in you. You're going to do even more than what I'm asking. Man, Paul knew Philemon. He led him to Christ. He saw what kind of man he was in leading other people to Christ and ministering to people in the church that met in his home and ministering to others for the gospel there in Colossae. He never would beat around the bush. I mean, he's telling him like it is. But do you notice that what he's saying is this? I could command you to do this, but I don't have to, because I know the love that you have for Jesus is going to be extended to this new creation, your former slave, Onesimus. And I can give you a preview of things we're going to see over the next couple of weeks. Next week, we're going to look at the forgiveness of Philemon. All right, but I'm just going to tell you, the third week, when we take a look at Onesimus and what happened in his life, okay, every one of us should be encouraged by it. Every one of us should be encouraged about what happens in the lives of believers when they begin to be filled with love and forgiveness and unity the way that God intended. This story, you remember the rest of the story, Paul Harvey? Okay, when we get to the rest of the story, we're going to go, man, we serve a good God the way it ends. The way I believe it should end today, though, is this. Is there somebody in your life that you need to forgive? Now, listen to me. If they never come up to you and say, I've wronged you and I'm sorry, forgive them anyway. Forgive them. Is there somebody you need to ask for forgiveness? It's funny that Paul wrote this as a prisoner in Rome, because I'm just going to tell you, the more you allow somebody who has wronged you to be in control of who you are without forgiving them, or the longer you're like Onesimus and you run away from asking for forgiveness, all you're doing is imprisoning yourself. But you'll find freedom in an exhale. Paul used the word refresh in here, talking about this issue. That word refresh is a word that describes a bunch of soldiers walking from one place to another. You imagine them carrying all their stuff and being tired. The word refresh here is that the soldiers walking for mile after mile and then finally getting to a place where they could take all that baggage off and sit down. And if you've ever had that at the end of the day when you're just exhausted and you sit down, one of the very first natural reactions you have is what? And when you ask for forgiveness that you've been running from, and when you extend forgiveness that you've been resisting, it's a refreshing, okay? And that only comes from the love of Christ. Let's pray. Father, I am so grateful that you would love us as humans, because we just mess so many things up. We get crossways and sideways with other believers. We fail. Sometimes we refuse to ask to be forgiven. Other times we refuse to forgive and we hold grudges. And the fact of the matter is that should never be the case in the body of Christ. We should be the most loving, the most forgiving, and the most unified group of people on the planet. Because the mission of reaching people for Christ is so important. Father, I just pray that through the next few weeks that you would show us how we can intercede on behalf of others because we love them, how we should forgive other people because we love them, and how we can be restored and reconciled to other people through forgiveness. Father, give us the courage to remember those words that Paul spoke to Philemon as if he was speaking them to us in verse 21. Confident of our obedience, and that we will do even more than what you have asked us to do in this area. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask you to remain seated, a little bit different today. If you would, this is such a personal issue. Would you just begin to pray? God, give me the power through the Holy Spirit to forgive others. And if I need to be forgiven, Father, would you give me the power to go ask for forgiveness? And that we would truly love one another the way that one believer should love another. Maybe right now God is putting it upon your heart to go encourage another believer. You've seen them do something well. Go encourage them. Acknowledge it. Some of our prayer partners are going to be up here. Maybe you just need to pray for that. Maybe you need to pray over that. Or maybe you've never given your life to Jesus and you're like Onesimus and you've been running and running and running, and today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that God is speaking to you and you want to give your life to Christ. Whatever it is, just spend a few moments. Father, through the power of the Holy Spirit, would you just strengthen those that need to ask for forgiveness, strengthen those that need to forgive others. And Father, for those that need to make decisions either to follow Christ or whatever you're laying upon their heart, give them the strength. In Jesus' name, as you continue to pray, we're going to be up here. We'd love to talk to you and pray with you. Whatever decision you need to make, the rest of you, just begin to pray. Ask God, who do I need to forgive? Who do I need to ask for forgiveness? And let's live out true and honest love, forgiveness, and unity. Spend a few minutes with the Lord. Now, before we dismiss, for those of you that are followers of Jesus, I want to challenge you. Go do what the Word says to do. Acknowledge and encourage one another. Forgive each other and live in the love of Christ. If you're a follower of Jesus, as Paul says, we're confident in the obedience that we should have and that we'd even do more to restore relationships and be the people that God wants us to be. As you leave, we're going to remain up here because some of you, as often happens, even in our first service, we're going to remain here. And maybe you just want to come down while everybody else is leaving. You need some prayer. You want to talk more about what it means to give your life to Christ. So believers, leave here and live this out. The rest of you, if you need to make a decision, we're going to stay here. But let's pray real quickly. Father, that we would truly be a representation of Jesus in the way that we love and follow our Savior, the way that we bring honor and glory to you, and the way that we love one another. And may it make an impact for the gospel in Royce City and other areas. We're so grateful of the forgiveness that Jesus has given to us because love is willing to pay the price. And we are part of your family if we've given our lives to you. And may that enrich us and empower us to do what is right and to be obedient. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all have a great week.